This is the Troll Patrol. Live with Justin Freakin.
I feel like this shit that's going on over here in Colombia is a pretty big deal, so we should probably watch this shit. Hold on. Welcome to the Troll Patrol Live. It's a freaking Tuesday. Good day for the police to violate the rights of students. Oh, God damn it. You guys go away. Here's the scene at Columbia University.
Once they get in there, they have to detain the people who are in there. They have to put them in the zip ties. And then they have to get them out of there and then also say to themselves, okay, we're going to be coming down to some protesters who are not going to be happy to see these arrests. And that could make things very difficult.
So the students have been occupying this hall all day since early this morning. The NYPD has been ordered to move in and arrest them
behind the barricades. But I do want to remind our audience that when the
this is live
arrested the students, whatever it was, 2 weeks ago or so, the first go around, and they brought them down to police headquarters downtown for processing and such, there was a large group of protesters that actually tried to block that bus that was carrying the arrested students as it got down. Clearly, they were not fully successful. Police were able to carry out.
Holy shit, that's a lot of cops.
They had in custody there. But, that is the types of pushback that we've been seeing from protesters out here has been, that type of demonstration here. Right now, we don't see people seeming to break through the barricades. Everyone does seem to be, that I can see, respecting the police barricades that are here. They are chanting, of course, but that's,
Once again, this is live. They breached the hall in about like 5 minutes ago.
More police officers in khaki pants are lining up.
It was just a little difficult to hear you for a second. My question is, are there still
DJ Dub D
going in through the main gate of the campus?
The main gate is open. The gate is open. There are police officers.
Like, I had to hop on because this is history right here.
Doesn't go in a few minutes ago. I don't see any more going in at the precise.
I stand with these students.
I don't see anyone coming out either.
The reason why I ask is because I think it's that secondary question that we have, which is, A, we just assumed they were going into Hamilton Hall to remove those students, but B, would there be any kind of larger action on the campus? Because you have to admit that if you're the police, you say, okay, we clear out Hamilton Hall, but if we leave other, shall we say, professional agitators who are still on campus,
Professional agitators
would try and do something else that they would be worried about. So I have been curious this whole night.
Yes,
to wonder.
Well, there are three encampments as of this afternoon. There's the one in Hamilton Hall, there's the original encampment on the lawn, and then today, the protest group, the student organization that's been organizing these protests has said there is actually a second outdoor encampment on campus that has...
Very good point, DJ Dub.
So
the professional agitators are on screen presently.
Different encampments, all with the same message, all with the same group that were on campus here, so... they very well maybe also be trying to clear out the encampment that's happening with those tents that we've been seeing on the lawns, as well as a possible second one. But that I'm not sure of. At this point, I can only see for certain that, officer after officer.
Princess Kimberly, welcome.
Officers at this point with the emergency services unit of the
NYPD given permission to enter Columbia University. This is a live shot. This is happening.
The lights have turned
presently.
In that floor where it's been since we've gone in. So we're going to be continuing to monitor this as the officers continue to go into Hamilton Hall. We're going to pause.
This all started about maybe 10 minutes at this point. They breached the hall. See, they now have a spotlight on the window. They've turned on lights inside of the hall. The police have barricaded medics, journalists, students into another hall. They pushed their way into, this is Hamilton Hall, I believe, has been occupied since early this morning, about 6 or 7 this morning. I don't know why the audio cut out for us. Here is video from this morning where they took it over. They renamed it Hind Hall or Hinds Hall after a Palestinian boy that was killed in an Israeli raid.
And down to Colombia, took back what they stole from me. Took back my
Seven Heavy Steel, welcome.
Took back my humanity.
Flash. That was early this morning, 6 or 7 this morning. They took over Hamilton Hall, renamed it Hinds Hall. This is the police currently moving in. Students had barricaded themselves inside of the hall all day. NYPD finally given permission to move into the campus. They breached the hall's window about 10 minutes ago. Thread, good evening. I hate to meet under such circumstances. But I feel like this is something that we needed to cover. Let me see if I can get a different feed. We've lost audio.
This is Breaking News.
And good evening, everyone. This is Maurice Dubois in the CBS 2 Newsroom. We are looking at live pictures now. NYPD officers entering Hamilton.
I just said all this shit.
Campus of Columbia University. It has been an intense situation all night as officers have approached this building, which has been taken over by protesters, pro-Palestinian protesters, as well as what the NYPD and the
yes, the website
outside agitators. They say
praising the protesters who took over a hall and retake
the building. They got permission, obviously, from the
Vietnam War
administration of Columbia there. But we have seen officers
still up
from the top of that, the spear, the tip there of a military style vehicle that the police have been using.
Never listen to them when they say just the tip.
We do not know. We have seen officers entering the campus through another side. We know there are arrests. An unfolding intense situation at Columbia University. Full report continues here on CBS News New York on the stream and CBS 2 News at 11. We'll see you then.
Purgadores. Wait, are they wrapping up? We're doing the good shit now. Associated Press has video of them marching the students out.
Dozens and dozens now.
Venus, good evening. So dozens of students so far being arrested.
The situation unfolding on the campus of Columbia University. NYPD officers in riot gear right there. And students there on the side. There are chants going on. There have been arrests tonight. The main point here tonight is that officers have moved in to retake Hamilton Hall. And you'll recall the mayor and the police commissioner and others have said it was partly retaken, or partly taken over about 12 hours ago by outside agitators. NYPD and the mayor have had enough. They have gone in and they are making a stand tonight on the campus. Now, live on the street there, right outside the campus gates, CBS 2's Allie Bauman. Allie, what do you see right now?
Maurice, yeah, we're right out here on 116th in Amsterdam outside the campus gates of Columbia University. You know, about maybe 20 years.
Students had occupied Hamilton Hall.
Emergency services.
Since 7 or 8 this morning.
That I had not seen before in my years of reporting in New York City, and it came and it pulled right up to the outside of Hamilton Hall, which is where those group of protesters have barricaded themselves inside since early this morning. Now, the campus gates on this side have been closed, and the police truck pulled right up to about the second floor window here of that building, and we saw maybe a dozen or even more officers break through the window and climb in through with shields, with helmets, with zip.
Apparently another campus is on fire currently.
At the same time, one of the gates here did open, and NYPD officers.
We've got shit going on.
Did walk through on the ground through Columbia University's front gates here. Now, this is all happening in front of hundreds of protesters who have been outside the entrance here, as well as media for hours here who are watching this. And the protesters here have been jeering at the police. We did see several, you know, arrests being taken place outside of the campus, even as the police were first trying to get up to the gates. They were arresting some people who were standing in front of the gates. We haven't seen any protesters from inside come out yet under arrest. We haven't seen any of the officers who went into the building come out on this side yet, but we're certainly waiting for that to happen.
Yeah, we haven't seen anything like this, Allie. No doubt. I haven't seen anything like that military style looking vehicle that the officers use to get in there. Talk to me.
Whoa, bro.
Different camera angles show different things. We see there is a sense of calm right behind you. There's a bit of chaos off to the other side.
Never seen anything like it.
Chaos. I can't really get a feel for it. Maybe you can set the scene for us in terms of confrontations with officers and so forth.
It may be a sense of calm right behind me, but don't let the shot be misleading, because right now there's barricades that are preventing people from going into the street where these officers are and getting closer to where the campus is. Now, I'm losing track of what time it is, but about an hour or so ago, there were hundreds of protesters that were just outside of the campus gates on the other side of the street here, and at some point, dozens of officers in the riot gear came through, started moving the barricades, and that's when we started to see, you know, more clashes break out between protesters and police here. It didn't seem to get...
What does that mean, DJ Dub?
...violent or anything from what we saw, but we did see the police take about a handful of people into custody here as they were trying to clear them out here. Now, at this point, most people that I'm seeing are abiding by the barricades that are here, that are staying staying on the sidewalk and abiding by the barricades that they set up.
No.
Hours ago, police actually shut down traffic here in Amsterdam for cars. So there haven't been cars driving through here, just been people on the street, and now they are.
This is important. This is important. As good evening, clinically.
Listening to what the police orders are, but I don't know if you can hear them right now chanting "Shame on the New York police."
Yeah, I mean, Allie, let's talk about that vehicle, if you will. It's there in the center of the shot. There's a guy standing in the way, but it's a big black...
If you're just joining us, students have been occupying Hamilton Hall at Columbia University since early this morning, about 6 or 7 a.m.
Cherry picker-looking sort of arm on the back of it. I don't know if you can see it pointing at the window right there.
We watched the cops move in. Dozens of students have been arrested.
What did you make of that, and how it was received, and how officers... I mean, basically, it was a show of force as they pulled up.
I think that's a perfect way to describe it. It was definitely a show of force. I mean, they came through this crowd of protesters that around.
Yes, we've seen students around the country have the opposite
with their shields
reaction.
With their helmets already on, they drove right up. They drove. I couldn't tell if they actually drove into the building. It sounded like a little bit of a crash when they drove right up to the building. I'm not sure if it was just the curb or whatnot, but you know, it was a loud entrance, and it was, you know, I think that it's interesting that we're having such a public entrance into the building, you know, because the university is not allowing media on campus at this point. They've asked even students to leave campus who are living in the dorms or to shelter in place. So what's happening behind those campus gates, we cannot see, but they definitely made a public display of this, and they've done so in front of the protesters. And then they put that cherry picker, like you said, it's almost like a ramp that they lifted up and put up right to the window there. And then one by one went through the window.
Okay, Allie, surreal in so many ways, definitely unusual, but it seems to have help them achieve their...
Sounded like your name was Allie Surreal.
And probably take it back here at some point.
But I think he said Allie, comma, Surreal.
What's happening?
In so many ways.
Alicia Reed is on the other side of campus. This is 116 and Broadway. Alicia, what do you see at your vantage point?
Maurice, they actually moved us over to 114th and Broadway, and right now we're on 114th. What you're looking at are people that are being taken out of the...
But the cop can't even get in.
...cuffs into buses that they brought and drove over to...
Minty, good evening.
And so we saw at least four or five packs of officers walking onto campus, and right now,
let me pull that out.
Give us 1 second here, guys. They're moving us around. Give us 1 second. And so what we saw were packs of officers coming onto 114th and going onto campus. And in the meantime, they have the Herem team with the drones watching over the campus. Their officers manning the streets, telling students to shelter in place. So there are officers at the front of each building ensuring that these students are not coming out. I'm not sure if you...
I mean, if you can't make jokes during dark times.
Chanting from their windows and from the front of the buildings, shame on you, to the officers. But again, right now on 114th...
Shame!
It is pretty calm. They are bringing people off into the buses now. At least five buses have been parked on 114th as they start bringing the people out. And the NYPD has been carrying the press just one step at a time, closer and closer to where we are right now. And I think this is the closest that we'll get where they're actually bringing protesters out in handcuffs and bringing them over to the buses. Maurice?
And Alicia, it looks like the strategy, a smart one in any operation such as this, is to overwhelm with numbers, with force. And when you said there were packs of officers moving in a group in different directions to go after people on the campus to take them out in cuffs, what kind of numbers would you say that looked like? Like how many officers at a time and how many people did they seem to take out?
We saw a couple hundred.
Yeah, absolutely. Hundreds of officers. I want to say the first pack was at least maybe 200, and then they had a second pack and a third pack. But by the fourth,
he was talking to his producer.
Many. We're hearing protesters on the other side. I think that's Amsterdam. They're getting louder and louder. But right now, they actually slowed down and taking people from inside. The first bus is leaving right now. We can see that first NYPD police van leaving with people inside. Some of them were shouting, trying to shout through the windows, free Palestine. But as of right now, I would say they have things under control here, but there are lots of officers still manning the streets and making sure that the streets...
Oh, this is the very hall they took over in 1968.
Yeah, a lot of numbers when you look at officers right there, Alicia. One more thing. I don't think you're going to be able to fully answer this, but this is important. The mayor and the police commissioner talked about outside agitators, professional protesters, who they really see as the issue, the main problem here. And I'm guessing that you couldn't tell who was arrested. Were they, you know, outside-looking people or student types or some of both? Or you couldn't, you know, it's night, it's a lot of officers. What'd you
say? Nobody's allowed on campus right now. It has to be students.
Faces, and they were rushing us past the buses as they were trying to get us from one location to the next. I can say, looking at the bus right now that just left, it's now it's on 114th in Amsterdam, and there's a crowd of protesters. Officers are now running in that direction, I guess, to try and calm the situation. But it is getting louder a little bit further away from us, but they do have us in pen, so we're just kind of stuck in one place and trying to observe as things happen. But
well, apparently I had two versions of it up here. We're coming back to that here real fast. Let's get the statement from Columbia.
I want to read a statement that we just got from Columbia. A little after 9 p.m. this evening, the NYPD arrived on campus at the university's request. This decision was made to restore safety and order to our community.
Taters.
We regret that protesters have chosen to escalate the situation through their actions. After the university learned overnight that Hamilton Hall had been occupied, vandalized, and blockaded, we were left with no choice. Columbia public safety personnel were forced out of the building and a member of our facilities team was threatened. We will not risk the safety of our community or the potential for further escalation. The leadership team, including the Board of Trustees, met throughout the night and into the early morning, consulting with security experts and law enforcement to determine the best plan to protect our students and the entire Columbia University community. We made the decision early in the morning that this was a law enforcement matter and that the NYPD were best positioned to determine and execute an appropriate response. This is interesting. We believe that the group that broke into and occupied the building is led by individuals who are not affiliated with the university. Sadly, this dangerous decision followed more than a week of what had been productive discussions with representatives of the West Lawn encampment. It goes on to talk about the security precautions that they're
taking. That's not what the representatives of West Lawn encampment said.
They are making clear that the life of campus cannot be endlessly interrupted by protesters who violate the rules and the law.
Nobody but students have been allowed on campus for days now, so the idea of outside agitators is kind of difficult to believe. Again, one of the buses that is going to take away the arrested dozens of students. We heard from one of the student broadcasters last night. One of the student, I think they were the co-editor of the paper. Or it might have been Sunday night. I don't know. I've streamed every night, so. It's one of those broadcasting things where you like FOMO. I create a fear of missing out. I'm showing you such good shit all the time. If you weren't here to see this, like you should have been.
Aaron, did you mean to call me? Did you mean to call me?
Students and faculty have been told to shelter in place. It appears they might have taken the last of the protesters they plan to arrest out. Quesadilla over on the Twitch. Thank you for being a freaking follower. The college is threatening several students with expulsion. The scene currently at Columbia. Let's check in with UCLA, where students also protesting.
UCLA, they're responding to what was a night of raucous clashes on campus. The chancellor sent a message to students today promising more law enforcement and disciplinary action, barriers that protesters use to block access to buildings.
Peoples, you promise more law enforcement, I can promise you more protests. I don't think you know how this works. You're making it worse.
Have now been removed. Staff is located around Roy's Quad to make sure it stays that way. NBC4's Robert Kovacic was at UCLA for us last night, and he joins us now with more on the changes since then. Robert.
And we keep having changes, Carolyn. What you are looking at here is the side of Powell Library, now closed per UCLA. Powell Library across from Royce Hall, now closed because of UCLA, with the large encampment between those two buildings. Here at the side of Powell Library is how you enter the encampment. What is going on here is really not clear at the moment, but we have a number of security guards from CSS Security, Apex Security, as well as UCLA Police. The increased presence is definitely here, as UCLA said in a Bruin alert, as Chancellor Jean Block explained earlier today, that this will now be the case. There will be an increased presence of security to keep students safe, as well as now students possibly facing sanctions when it comes to this encampment. Again, what's going on here, we don't know. But I want to take you back.
We don't know.
Last night on the NBC4 News at 11 o'clock, we played you a phone call from a parent to UCLA Police Department saying, my son can't get to class. UCLA Police Department said, we were told by the university not to intervene. Those were the quote from a dispatcher to that UCLA parent. An hour later, things changed dramatically, and we were here. Take a look at what happened. Just before midnight, a clash at the entrance at Powell Library. There was a pallets being used, pieces of cardboard being used as they tried to. There were Jewish demonstrators and pro-Israeli demonstrators who came to, they said, just trying to talk to those people who were inside the encampment. And then the chaos just broke loose. And then, this is significant, we did see UCLA police intervene, and they did show up about 12:15, about 20 minutes after it started. Let's show you that video. This is UCLA police tactical gear coming in with their batons, separating the two parties and keeping those inside the encampment back. So we did then see UCLA police here. We also saw two LAPD patrol cars right before 1 a.m. driving by as well. LA police on this campus. They didn't get out of the patrol cars. But again, the understanding that things were unpredictable here, that things were starting to get more and more tense and more fractious. And that is where we are now. We are just hours, ladies, from when the first tent showed up here at UCLA on Wednesday morning. And now we have a large encampment that remains in place. And surrounding this encampment right now, besides security and police, are those pro-Israeli demonstrators on the border here waiting to see what is going to happen next. And that is what we're waiting for at this hour. But again, the one thing that has really changed here is the increase in law enforcement.
Nah, shit.
I understand that all of this certainly impacting students who...
Let's go to... better video. This is just a press conference. A pro-Palestinian gathering at USF, University of Southern Florida, declared unlawful. It's going to be amazing if we don't see people get shot.
Don't get that close. I got the zoom lens. Don't worry about it.
The University of Southern Florida.
I need to go in your face.
On behalf of the Citizens Chief Marquis of the University of South Florida Police Department, this assembly has been declared an unlawful assembly in accordance with Chapter 870.04 of the Florida State Statute.
I'll get close on him. Don't get too close. I got start shooting stuff. I don't have to go on you.
I got you.
We don't have
you
masks.
You have refused to follow this lawful order. At this time, please consider yourself under arrest for refusing to disperse. Please do not resist arrest or any other enforcement actions which could result in risk of injury which may occur.
Oh,
Police Department. This assembly has been declared an unlawful assembly in accordance with which could result in the risk of injury which may occur.
This just works.
On behalf of Assistant Chief Marquise of the University of South Florida Police Department, this assembly has been declared an unlawful assembly in accordance with Chapter 870.04 of the Florida State Statute. You have been given a lawful order to disperse. You have refused to follow this lawful order. At this time, please consider yourself under arrest for refusing to disperse.
This is the University of South Florida earlier today. Warlord, good evening. This is Columbia University presently. They do employ gas. I wanted to check back in and see what was going on currently. This was earlier today on the University of South Florida. This isn't the only violence on college campuses today.
I'm trying to get off or anything.
Please do not resist arrest or any other enforcement action which could result in risk.
I'm not high enough for this shit.
If you choose to say, chemical munitions will be utilized.
Yeah, chemical munitions against students.
Sure. It looks fine on my end, on this end.
Is he saying there's no...
The levels look normal.
I only got this mic going right now. So
yeah.
They were saying it was staticky before.
Say it again.
The protesters know what they're doing. For those of you who don't know, the umbrellas are used to actually sling the canisters back at the police.
Sure. It looks fine on my end, on this end.
Is he saying there's no... There's
yeah,
no
the mic levels here? Look the levels look normal.
I only got this mic going right now. So
yeah.
They were saying it was staticky before.
Say it again. Say that again.
On behalf...
Just another day, fascist USA.
Are we backing up? What are we doing, Ish?
Green hat.
Free hat. God's a lanky dude. That was one tall, lanky motherfucker.
He says stand by. They're going to take a slide. We're about to take a slide.
You have refused to follow this lawful order. At this time, please consider yourself under arrest for refusing to disperse. Please do not resist arrest or other enforcement actions which could result in risk of injury which may occur.
What a waste of resources this is.
We're up.
History really does repeat itself. Fucking amazing.
I'm with you.
You'll get used to it, man.
We're up again?
Yeah, look at mine.
Yeah.
We really are going to get the head of Nixon. All Futurama-like. Yes, can we have the king? We want the king back, Warlord. Can the UK conquer us?
Got some water?
Huh?
The water thing?
Yep, I got it.
You gotta let us make fun of Parliament, though. Again, still live in. It was on the campus of Columbia. Apparently, another bus has showed up. See a shit ton of cops over here. But as I said, not the only violence going on campuses today. Let's go to UNC Chapel Hill in North Carolina, where police and protesters clashed.
The chaotic moments today on the UNC Chapel Hill campus, with police and pro-Palestinian protesters clashing on the quad this morning. Hello and thank you for joining us. I'm Gerald Owens.
And I'm Deborah Morgan. At one point, the group took down the American flag and put up a Palestinian flag. Shortly after it came down the first time, Interim Chancellor Lee Roberts came out with police officers and said the American flag will stand on campus. WRL's Matt Tallhelm is live tonight on campus, where the crowd has thinned, but law enforcement has not. Matt?
Yeah, Deborah, you know, this has been the epicenter of this all day. This flagpole right here, you can see the American flag is back up here, but our understanding is that the police system was broken during all of these clashes, all of this that happened here. This center of Polk Place here, this is where the encampment was for 5 days, those pro-Palestinian supporters out here for 5 days. You can see those metal barricades. Those came down, were thrown around, tossed around as police and protesters clashed here. These are the remnants of a day of protests at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
Police moved into UNC's Polk Place for the second time in a day, after protesters tore down metal barricades to reach the flagpole in the center of the quad, where they raised a Palestinian flag in place of the stars and stripes. UNC Interim Chancellor Lee Roberts was there as police and protesters clashed for the second time in a day.
Tell the students that we're going to keep them safe from a very small minority of students.
And fuck this dude.
We want to disrupt their experience.
Hours earlier, before dawn on day five of the encampment of
That was like fucking Patrick Bateman from fucking American Psycho. Is who that? Like, why would anybody make him the goddamn president? He's gonna be telling us about his fucking bone-colored business cards.
Hours earlier, before dawn on day five of the encampment of Palestinian supporters on the quad, police from schools across the UNC system descended on this same space. Officers overturned an air mattress fortress built around the center of the encampment block. Some protesters tried to stop police vehicles, even laying down on the sidewalk in front of them.
You got over 100, 200 police officers marching onto a campus to disrupt students while they're sleeping.
Hello.
I'm not scared.
UNC says about 30 people were detained in the moment.
Welcome.
At least six were arrested and charged. Dozens of supporters surrounded them and tried to block our cameras as they were released from the Orange County Detention Center.
They are really rattled because it was like a...
Hello. React to this.
Traumatic thing to experience, but we are not fazed. We are not fazed. We will continue to push and to fight, and we will not back down.
That's the message they brought back to campus for a march and protest leading up to the American flag coming down. Behind the crowd of hundreds supporting the Palestinian movement, a handful of Jewish fraternity members held an Israeli flag in quiet counter-protest.
React to these nuts!
Here on campus,
and that we aren't going to just disappear because stuff like this happens at UNC.
Now, the interim chancellor and provost put out a statement in after the clearing of the encampment. It says in part, we must consider the physical safety of all our students, faculty, and staff. In addition, we are alarmed at the rising accounts of anti-Semitism and speech, and we categorically denounce any other incidents of prejudice. Now, the university gave their students 30 minutes notice to leave this area.
Aww, show you. You're the beautiful one.
The last 2 minutes here. About, I'd say, 8 police officers, UNC police officers, are down here now.
A little pissed off at the area. Fascist cops here in the country.
Here, it looks like they're getting ready to come in and fix the flagpole. I see UNC facilities crews coming in there. I guess the police are probably...
I'm not high enough for this ship, but what's new?
Fascists don't erupt again here on campus. But in the past hour, we've also learned 36 people were detained this morning. 30 of them were charged with trespassing and released on site. WRAL anchor Dan Haggerty continues our team coverage now. And Dan, you're looking at who these protesters were that were arrested and any connections to the university here.
That's right, Matt. We're learning a lot more about these people, who they are, where they came from. Of the 36 people detained on UNC's campus this morning, we've learned that roughly half of that 30 who were cited and released were, in fact, students. 17 of them were not. Now, 6 were actually arrested and charged, just 6. All 6 face misdemeanor charges, including resisting a public officer. 5 are also charged with second-degree trespassing, and 2 of them also face charges for assaulting a government official. One of those warrants was worded this way about the suspect, saying, quote, they unlawfully and willfully did resist, delay, and obstruct a public officer by pushing against an officer and tackling him to the ground. The officer, we have learned, was an NC State police officer on campus helping out the UNC police force. UNC Chapel Hill says 3 of the people who were charged are students. They do know that. And from LinkedIn accounts and student news articles, it appears that 2 others are seniors at Duke. The 6th person does not appear to be affiliated with any local university. All were released. They got a written promise to appear and didn't have to pay any bond. They have court dates, though, scheduled 1 month from today. Right now, it doesn't appear that anyone was detained during the afternoon protest, Gerald.
Well, that's good. Stanford University saying that students could face disciplinary action for their protests.
Stanford is warning of discipline for student protesters who break campus policy as the Gaza Solidarity Encampment enters its 5th day. Protest organizers are demanding that Stanford separates itself from any companies or organizations advancing military efforts in the Israel-Hamas war.
Our messaging, obviously, as with all the other campuses across the nation, is divestment, is transparency.
White Plaza is the campus space for free expression. The university allows tabling from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., but said it has policies that include no overnight camping. Organizers say they're aware of it and that there could be discipline, but say people who aren't involved with the encampment are wrongly facing punishment like suspension.
One student wasn't even here when any of this was going down, when the encampment was going down, and probably won't be here for the foreseeable future. A couple of the students weren't even involved in planning any of this, or they weren't even here also.
The university said it handed out warnings signed by the president and provost Thursday night when the encampment first started. Tuesday, copies of that warning could be seen on posters around the encampment placed there by university officials. It says students could face suspension, and some students are receiving personalized emails. Encampment organizers say the university is targeting certain people.
A variation of Muslim, brown, black, or some mixture of any of those things. Only white students that have been given this disciplinary letter were anti-Zionist Jewish students.
A Stanford spokesperson said that the university cannot comment on any individual student cases, but in general, students are being referred to the Office of Community Standards for violating policies. In its statement, the university said in part, there is evidence connecting individuals to specific policy violations. Those involved are entitled to rights and procedures as provided in the Stanford Student Conduct Charter of 2023 and will be able to offer a defense. At Stanford, Zach Fuentes, ABC 7 News.
I think we're on the verge of something big. I think we're in the middle of a paradigm shift. And it's messy. That's what a paradigm shift is. When you're changing the zeitgeist, changing the focus and the consciousness of humanity. It's messy. You get a lot of reactionaries. You get fucking Nazis. But hopefully we'll come out on the other side better off. A new age of prosperity. A new way of thinking, hopefully. A new system. Speaking of Nazis, apparently swastikas were found on the campus of USC.
Now at 6, colleges in crisis. Tensions are running high at universities nationwide. USC and UCLA among the schools making national news. Police and school administrators urgently working to crack down on the growing encampments of students protesting the Israel-Hamas war, while student groups are demanding their universities be held accountable. But what exactly are they demanding, and at what cost?
We can't study in...
Tell us.
We are having trouble...
Curiouser.
They're creating chaos on our campus right now, and they have created chaos for the entire graduating senior class at USC.
NBC4 takes an in-depth look at the...
Think about the chaos in Gaza, motherfucker.
...campus operations to long-awaited graduations.
Good evening, everyone. Tonight, we are going much deeper on this story. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carolyn Johnson.
And I'm Colleen Williams. Among the questions tonight, how does this all end? What exactly do the protesters want? And how are administrators responding to all of this? What's happening here locally is really part of a national movement on college campuses across the country. They are protesting what appears to be a very coordinated effort here.
News Chopper 4 live over UCLA right now, where our reporters on the ground have seen a significant shift in tactics used by protesters. They're asking reporters and individual students for identification to enter encampments on public property. Demonstrations forcing Royce Hall to shut down until Friday. The school's library will remain closed through Monday. So what are their demands at UCLA? Well, the demonstrators aren't only demanding a ceasefire in Gaza. They want transparency about university investment. They want all financial ties with Israel cut. And they're also calling to defund the police.
At USC,
fuck yeah,
investments are also a sticking point there as well. But their demands are just as wide-ranging. They're calling for an end to policing on campus. They also are calling for an end to the displacement of people in general. They say that includes USC campus expansions, displacing people here in LA, as well as people displaced by the war in Gaza.
We have team coverage tonight with an in-depth look at colleges in crisis. We're live at UCLA and USC. We're also taking a closer look.
No, I think we're seeing colleges being more vibrant and
NBC4's Alex Rozier,
alive than ever.
Breaking news from the president's office. Alex.
USC President Carol Folt just shared that a swastika was found today drawn on campus. She says it has been removed and that she condemns all forms of hate speech or anti-Semitic.
What's wrong with his head?
It is just the latest development in a tense time, a little more than a week from graduation.
At USC, tensions increased after the university canceled a graduation speech from their pro-Palestinian valedictorian, then arrested more than 90 protesters on campus last week.
And I don't know why the police are arresting so many people.
USC since canceled their main graduation ceremony for safety reasons, an event that normally attracts 65,000 people.
I'm really disappointed, of course.
Sarah Shorenstein will graduate next week with her master's in public diplomacy from the Annenberg School at USC. Though the main ceremony is canceled, the university will still host more than 100 commencement events.
We'll make the best of it, for sure.
But as thousands of families start to arrive in L.A., protesters are still on campus. Today, USC President Carol Folt met with a few student organizers, and it didn't go well. Folt issued a statement that said in part, quote, "Unfortunately, they seemed more interested in having me issue a political statement in support of their viewpoint as opposed to coming up with practical solutions to resolve the situation."
Our university leaders need to step up.
Dr. Sharona Nazarian is a USC alum and a mom to a graduating senior who is Jewish.
Jewish students in particular are feeling targeted and unsafe, and this is unacceptable. And I urge university leaders...
Oh my God, that bullshit again. Jewish students... disproportionately represent the protesters.
Policymakers and all our communities to unite and take immediate action to address these issues and to ensure the safety and well-being of all of our students.
So as the conflict continues in the Middle East, protests are ongoing at USC. And days from graduation, unrest in this time typically reserved for celebration.
So graduation still set to take place May 8th through the 11th. As was mentioned, the main ceremony has been canceled, but the university still plans to hold more than 100 commencement events. USC says by the end of the day, all the dates, all the specifics will be shared on a website they've built specifically for graduation. We're live at USC. I'm Alex Rozier, NBC4 News. Right now.
I love how all the violence we've seen has really been by the cops towards the protesters. A few instances of pro-Zionists doing minor things overall. Fart spray, mice. This is the live scene outside of Columbia. It seems the buses have cleared out. Cops still lining the street. I must have said no to. No, let's do this. This is bound to be stupid. So let's find out. This is former CNN host, which Cuomo is it? Chris Cuomo. I want to call him Andrew. Andrew was the governor. This is Chris, the broadcaster. This is Chris Cuomo.
Who's going to make the case for our values and what they mean in this situation? What does Biden mean?
I believe the protesters are making a case for our values, that we are anti-war, anti-genocide.
For our values and what they mean in this situation. What does Biden mean? What does he need? What does it mean for the race? And what about it?
Come on, man.
What about what actually matters? What about truth? What about your values? Is there even such a thing as right and wrong anymore? Biden's doublespeak. Oh, shocker. He's got problems with his left flank. And his opponent is too busy trying to prove to people that there's no such thing as justice unless he agrees with it. So who's going to step up? You see the two parties, they can't even collaborate on being against anti-Semitism. Now, part of that is just naked politics, right? It's Speaker Johnson trying to save his hiney by owning the effort to get a win here with anti-Semitism. And whose law is it? But there's another part of it that frightens me. These on the left who want to hedge on what anti-Semitism really means and what the definition is. Really? The campuses are not a standalone. They are a measuring stick for us. No, I'm not these kids. I don't even resemble that world. I didn't even go to college. It's not my point. My point is what you allow, you empower. Now is the time.
His dad was like a governor or senator or something, wasn't he? Like, this is a total nepo baby. You didn't go to college because you didn't have to go to college. You already had a ticket into places if you wanted to.
Time to speak. I believe that this situation is being treated differently because it involves the Jews. Okay? And yes, that's complicated. And yes, it has long roots. But it frightens me. And I never thought in America I would have Jewish people thanking me for arguing they have a right to exist. Never. This is a time to stand up, to say what you believe, and to be held to account for the same. Too few in power have stepped up, and too many are stepping back.
I don't even know what his point is.
That you are paying attention. Here, we will engage, okay? And not just about who's winning the protests. I want to talk about why they're happening and what they say about us and what happens next. Hey, thank you for watching. Please go to
newsnow.com. Shut up, Chris Cuomo. Yeah, that did not make any sense whatsoever. I stand up for what I believe in. I say what I believe in. And I believe that Chris Cuomo is a dumb fuck. All right, let's move on. Move on from that. It looks like everything's all calm. This is the live scene in Colombia. Everything's kind of calmed down. Do you remember the story we did last night with the standoff and the shooting and everything? Let's get the update. Let's get some details on that shit. Oh, ads in about 4. Oh, well, let's fuck around then. Let's get high for a little bit. I can go ahead and hit the ads. Let me get over to the Twitch here. I like everybody getting ads all at once. Nobody has to miss any content. So just stick with me. They play all at once. Turn the volume down on them. Don't actually fucking watch them. I don't encourage you. It helps me out. So if you're watching on Twitch, you're going to get 3 minutes of ads. We're just going to be waiting on you. We're going to chill for a little bit, and we'll see you on the other side. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Thread. I think it's the best way to do ads. Took me a little bit to get it fine-tuned after I got back on Twitch. Oh, Soup, I've missed you so much. I need to crush up some more marijuana. We're going to talk about marijuana here in just a little bit. The federal government looks poised to declassify the herb. We're smoking. I said Obama should run on it in 2012. I thought it was dumb that the Democrats have not ran on it. But what do I know? I think the country is going to look drastically different in 10 years. As I said, we're in the middle of a paradigm shift. The entire world is going to look drastically different in 10 years. Hopefully for the better. I mean, we do have the fascists. They could win. It looks kind of bleak. Pick pot to be his October surprise. Who knows? God damn. Do you guys remember what October was like in 2020? It was like... It was a wild ass story every fucking day. Remember Trump got COVID? That was like, holy shit. Yeah, I will be resuming the 5 nights a week schedule by the time we get to August, for sure. But I've almost already assumed it again. The only time I felt bad for a virus. I was going to do... Fair enough, Flash. Fair enough. But I was doing... I wasn't doing the Troll Patrol stream. Where was you during the raid at Columbia University? I was watching it. Low tech, we were watching it. Just moments ago. It's kind of peaceful now. So we were going to find out what some other news be doing. About back from commercial break. I was working in Real TV in 2016 for a local news station. But also I did camera for a political talk show that they aired. It was basically a right-wing asshole radio host bought time on our TV station on Sunday morning. Do I root for the cancer to be rid of Trump? I don't know how to phrase that. Root for the cancer, though, I assume. Speaking of cancer, the police suffered major losses yesterday. Let's hear an update about what happened in the standoff and raid that we watched lots of footage of last night.
Attention all units. Attention all units. On behalf of Chief Jennings, I regrettably announce the end of watch for Officer Joshua Iyer. Please keep Officer Iyer's family, wife Ashley, 3-year-old son Andrew, his parents in North Tryon Division.
Did this need a content warning?
A final radio call made for Charlotte Mecklenburg police officer Joshua Iyer. He's one of 4 law enforcement officers killed.
Officer Voldemort.
The other 3 were members of a U.S. Marshals task force. 2 of them identified as officers from the State Department of Corrections, Samuel Paloche and William Elliott. The identity of the deputy U.S. Marshal who died, though, has not been released.
4 other law enforcement officers were also hurt in that shooting. We do know at least 1 Charlotte Mecklenburg officer is in critical condition. It all started yesterday when the task force went to a home in Charlotte to serve a warrant. The suspect was identified overnight as Terry Hughes Jr. He was wanted on 2 charges out of Lincoln County, which is just northwest of Charlotte, possession of a firearm by a felon, and felony flee to elude arrest. Police say he shot at officers as they approached the home. Members of the task force fired back.
Well, fuck them cops.
And killing him. Police say a second person in the home began firing at officers as well. There was a 3-hour standoff that ended with 2 people leaving the home and being taken in for questioning.
People in the Charlotte area are still trying to wrap their mind around the violence and the tragedy.
Yeah, I felt like there needed to be another charge there, Purgatorius. The possession of a firearm and shit. There seemed to be another charge that needed to be there.
Ambulances coming in from all across the country. Fox 8's Floriana Borgman joining us now live. Floriana, you're very close to where all this unfolded. Describe the scene to us.
God damn, look at that house.
Absolutely. Well, you can actually take a look at the house where this all happened. The front portion of the home is completely destroyed. You can see bricks everywhere, sheets, blankets, clothing falling out of the house. If you take a look up, you can see what looks like to be broken glass from bullet holes in those upper windows. It's just a reminder of the violent and tragic event that happened here. CMPD Police Chief Johnny Jennings says he can't recall anything worse that's happened in the Charlotte area. 2 of the 4 officers killed, Sam Paloche and William Elliott, worked for the state's Department of Adult Correction for 14 years. Paloche leaves behind a wife and 2 children. Elliott leaves behind a wife and 1 child. CMPD officer Joshua Iyer died last night after fighting for his life in the hospital for hours. He was a 6-year veteran with CMPD. Earlier this April, he was named the department's officer of the month. Iyer leaves behind a wife and a 3-year-old son. This is a loss the entire Charlotte community is mourning.
And the most that I can ask of our community is that we honor and respect them for all the work that they've done
all the work that we will do to make it possible for our city to be safer.
Absolutely tragic. Again, we don't know the identity of the deputy U.S. Marshal who was killed. We'll keep you updated as we learn more. For now, live in Charlotte, Floriana Boardman, Fox 8 News.
Floriana, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Floriana. What a wild fucking story. That, the fucking house. Let's check that out. Apparently, like, neighbors were, like, in awe of what the cops did to the house.
On Galway Drive tonight, quite literally picking up the pieces from everything that happened in their neighborhood yesterday afternoon. And that was the scene out of the shootout between the suspect, Terry Hughes, and U.S. Marshals. And
Terry Hughes.
We have a closer look at the scene and more on Hughes' background. Queen City News anchor Derek Dellinger live tonight in East Charlotte along Galway Drive. Now, Derek, we see the home right there behind you, an incredible sight, but it's also brought a lot of people out there.
Yes, it has, and I'm just going to get out of the way so you can actually see.
You're stunned.
Themselves. I mean, there's really not much left of the front end of this home, and this site has really brought a lot of passersby, people wanting to see all that happened here for themselves, even some national media here today. But for one man, everything that happened here was quite literally very, very close to home.
Between all the tragedy that happened Monday, there is a lot that seems to be left behind. As police and other law enforcement cleared the scene, people got a look for themselves at the dam.
Four cops and the suspect.
I said, let me.
We're up to five.
Take a look.
Three cops died yesterday. One cop died this morning.
Never seen nothing like this. Yeah. Never.
Even for next door neighbor Sang Chun, he was home and an unwitting spectator to the gunfight that led to all this damage.
Yeah, I was starting my truck and ready to go work. And that's what, like 1:40.
If anybody is in chat, you didn't see the footage last night on the show, I'll go back and watch it again. There's like a driver, a delivery driver that is there. There are like hundreds of shots that go off.
In the afternoon.
Everything happening just feet away, some of it right in his yard.
Here's five U.S. Marshal. They pull over, block me, and I got no choice. And they run out and with the gun and go. Couple, six of them go backyard, and two and other two other side, two on the front.
From there, a shootout as Chun ran for safety. Authorities say Terry Hughes Jr. was the one firing the gun, shooting eight law enforcement officers, killing four of them. Officers fired back, killing Hughes. Hughes' arrest history goes back to when he was 18. Records show he was a felon, having served time in prison for felony breaking and entering, and later again for possessing a weapon while a felon. He had a 2021 charge in Charlotte for a number of charges related to marijuana, along with fleeing and eluding authorities. The warrant they were serving Monday was for two charges. One was an eluding charge out of Lincoln County, along with a weapons possession charge. People here say that should have prompted a different type of response.
Yeah, seriously.
He got the gun, all that. That's why they call him to come out.
But while the investigation takes place into what happened, people are still coming by, wanting to see what happened right in their backyard.
I just can't imagine leaving home, going to work, not knowing if you're going to return.
A nice house, too.
Now, one thing that we've seen out here is really the sheer shock from people that have arrived here to take a look at this scene right behind me. And we've had a chance to talk to quite a few people today. Many people say that they are shocked that what happened yesterday happened here. Live in East Charlotte, Derek Dellinger, Queen City News.
Well, I believe they died from being shot. They were like federal agents that went up to serve a warrant. I don't think that, you know, like it wasn't like SWAT team. It wasn't that big of a deal until several agents got shot. Dude, like weed and fleeing and possession of a gun by a felon. Still nothing sounded all that serious. Especially the weed. Which is a good segue into our next story we're going to cover.
is that we are following.
It was in North Carolina.
Right here, as always, and we're focusing in on some breaking news regarding marijuana use, as the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration will move to reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug.
That I'll is coming smoke to that.
From, the AP reporting, as this is a historic shift to generations of American drug policy that could have wide ripple effects across the country. The DEA's proposal, which still must be reviewed by the White House Office of Management and Budget, would recognize the medical use of the cannabis and acknowledge it has less potential for abuse than some of the nation's most dangerous drugs. However, it would not legalize marijuana outright for recreational use.
This
move confirmed to the AP today by five people familiar with the matter. Discussed the sensitive regulatory review clears the last significant regulatory hurdle before the agency's biggest policy change in more than 50 years can take effect.
And stupid.
Once, the office, the White House office.
Smoking the cannabis.
Office of Budget signs off, the DEA will take public comment on the plan to move marijuana from its current classification as a Schedule 1 drug alongside heroin and LSD, and it will move a pot to Schedule 3 alongside ketamine and some anabolic steroids following recommendations from the Federal Health and Human Services Department. After
still sounds sus.
Period, the agency would publish the final rule. It comes after President Joe Biden called for a review of federal marijuana law in October of 2022 and moved to pardon thousands of Americans convicted federally of,
I like that bowl,
of the drug. He has also called on governors and local leaders to take similar steps to erase marijuana convictions. Criminal records for marijuana use and possession have imposed needless barriers to employment, housing, and educational
efforts. Yeah, I mean, I applaud this step.
In December,
but still,
lives have been upended because of our failed approach to marijuana. It's time that we right these wrongs. The election year announcement could help Biden, a Democrat, boost flagging support, particularly among younger voters. Schedule 3 drugs.
The kids like to smoke the pot.
Subject to rules and regulations, and people who traffic in them without permission could still face federal criminal prosecution. Some critics argue the DEA shouldn't change course on marijuana, saying rescheduling isn't necessary and could lead to harmful side effects. Jack Riley, a former deputy administrator of the DEA, said he had concerns about the proposed change because he thinks marijuana remains a possible, quote, gateway drug, one that may lead to the use
that
of...
That sounds amazing, drugs. Thread.
On the other end of the spectrum, others argue marijuana should be treated the way alcohol is. The immediate effect of rescheduling on the nation's criminal justice system would likely be more muted, since federal prosecutions for simple possession have been fairly rare in recent years there. So we'll keep an eye on this story, still coming and being reported by the Associated Press, and we'll continue to update you,
please,
as this story progresses. You're watching Live Now from Fox. Let's take our first break of the hour. Stay right here with.
And hey, if I was on regular radio, I'd have to take, like, it's an insane amount of commercial breaks. It's something like fucking 24 minutes in the hour. So 3 minutes on Twitch ain't that bad, I think. I don't even know what, brother, why was I thinking about that? Anything else we want to talk about before we get out of here? Let me check out some of the headlines here. We're going to talk about Jerry Seinfeld later. With that, oh man, we're gonna have to talk about it. I didn't give a meme. Hold on, let me do a meme. We're gonna talk about the bear story. There's a question on the internet posed to women. feel more comfortable. The bears. Do you feel more comfortable if you got lost in the woods, if there was a bear or a man? I do believe the overwhelming response from women has been they would rather be alone with a bear than a man. Well, I'd rather be bear food than alive around a man, Lucille Bluth says. I totally get it. And I saw somebody say, like, there's two types of men. The type that understand why women would choose the bear, and then the type of men that are the reason why women would choose the bear. I guess I'm easy to confide in, and it's horrific. Like, every woman that I have, you know, been close to has had some form of sexual assault. Like, it is ubiquitous. And that is absolutely disgusting to me. What if it's half man, half bear pig? I think it's far beyond the majority. I think it's like 80%, 85% of women have been. I can't believe it's 1 in 5. I would think it's so much higher than that. Underreporting, and I think some people don't know they've been assaulted. Or they block it out, or they reason with themselves. I'm sorry, like, this was a heavy subject to get on. I'm sorry. We were smoking pot. We were getting ready. Speaking of bears, God damn, that worked out so well. Yeah, some will call assault boys just being boys. It's disgusting. The bears.
Hungry bears are coming out of hibernation this spring. They're on the hunt for food across Southern California. And that means...
Or a hot twink.
...are on the rise. Authorities are reminding people about the potential danger of encountering these powerful animals.
KTLA 5's Jennifer McGraw reports from Monrovia.
Bears are a lot faster than you may think. They can climb a 100-foot tree in less than 30 seconds.
Bitch, do you think I'm stupid? I know bears are fucking fast. What the hell? You think I ain't watch fucking videos of bears on YouTube? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have called her a bitch. God, I'm problematic. I am so problematic. Like, I knew bears were fast. You think I'm stupid? You didn't know bears were fast. Like, oh shit, I didn't know bears were fast.
Seconds, they could easily hop a fence. That's why a word of warning for officials to stay away.
Come on now.
Well, that is a big one, huh?
That's a big bear.
It's that time of year where the bears are literally everywhere.
What is this guy doing?
From the foothills across our mountains and, of course, in neighborhoods.
That was probably one of the more different encounters that we've had where he actually started walking towards us.
Dexter DeMesa and his family say they're used to the wildlife in Monrovia, which is why they're vigilant.
And just use, I would say, just common
sense. What was that hat he was wearing?
Common sense. Don't get near the bear. Don't feed them or anything like that. They'll leave you alone.
And then there's this one on Monday who climbed up a tree and put on a show in Castaic. Eventually, by nightfall, the bear wandered back home. No doubt we're seeing more and more black bears. That's because there were only around 10,000 back in the 80s. And now there are upwards of 40,000 in California. The Department of Fish and Wildlife says it receives thousands of bears.
Look at him! He's scratching himself.
Imminent threats generally occur when people bother the bears.
stories of people trying to get close, and then just the bear maybe get a little aggressive.
Firefighters and his
don't bother the bears
out because tourists are feeding the bears and worse, snapping selfies.
And regardless how cute they are, it's still
they're cute.
Dangerous.
They're cute.
Not to be messed around with. Just report it. Stay your distance.
For those living in the foothills, they love the bears, but no, not to
clockwork.
It's chasing bears, you know, and they have no idea. I said, if that bear turns around and starts chasing you, and they had no idea.
Denise Mitchell Velazzo says it's bear country around here.
They go up a tree in a second. They're over a fence in a
if not friend, why ears like that?
But they don't realize.
And as much as they love the cuddly looking creatures, asking everyone to respect them.
You do have to respect the bears. We're sharing, you know, this territory with them now.
And while these attacks are
why nose boobable
in June of 2022 in Northern California, and a man was killed back in 2008. He had trained a bear and the bear had killed his handler in Monroe.
Yeah. Okay. So like, have you guys ever seen what is it called? Grizzly Man? Is that the name of it? The documentary about the dude that went to live with the bears in Alaska? And like, most of the bears were cool. But there was like an asshole bear that like didn't like the dude being there. It was probably the asshole bear that killed him. All the other bears were like welcoming and they were like having fun with the human and shit. It's a wild ass movie. Let's go back to that bear scratching his belly. That was my favorite part. Yeah.
Around 10,000 back in the 80s, and now there are
look
40,000 in California. The Department of Fish and Wildlife says it receives thousands of bear reports each year. But
I have seen Smokey Bong do that exact thing and want me to come over and scratch his little belly. You can't tell me that is not what that bear was.
Department of
rubbing his nibbles
says it receives thousands of bear reports each year, but those resulting in imminent threats generally occur when people bother the bears.
Stories of people trying to get close and then just the bear maybe get a little aggressive.
Firefighters in Azusa say they've been called out because tourists are feeding the bears and worse, snapping selfies.
Regardless how cute they are, it's still a vicious animal.
You're kind of cute, dude. I like that mustache.
Around with it. Just report it. Stay your distance.
For those living in the foothills, they love the bears, but know not to mess with them.
It's chasing bears.
I would want to pet a bear.
If that bear turns around and starts chasing you, and they had no idea.
Denise Mitchell Velazzo says it's bear country around here.
They go up a tree in a second. They're over a fence in a second. People just think, oh, I got a fence between me. I'm good.
Avalon.
They don't realize.
And as much as they love the cuddly looking creatures.
No, you're right.
Everyone to respect them.
You do have to respect the bears. We're sharing.
Ooh.
This
domesticate the bears. I agree. Domesticate the bears. Look at him. It does kind of look like he's playing with his nibbles. Her nipples. I don't know. Hold on. This needed a content warning. They are spread eagle over here. If I die getting eaten by a furry animal, just know like I had it coming. clinically, apparently, feels like they can see balls. It does, okay, now that I look, that does kind of look like a ball sack. That bear looks like it could use a titty slap.
A titty slap! What?
Come on,
huh?
Now.
Enhance. Oh, my God. To look at bear balls. That's the chat I fucking have. My God. You people. And I'm just going right along with it. Seriously, I don't ask me. I was walking back from the store last night. I was like, I do a show where I talk about the most serious news possible and make dick and fart and ball jokes. Talk about titties and teabagging and... And I wouldn't have it any other way. That sounds about right. Anyway, there's my lighter. Go ahead, light one up, tip one back. It's all right to have a little fun before you hit the sack. I'm Justin Friggin. I'll probably do a fucking around stream tomorrow, and then we'll do a troll patrol on Thursday. But if the news be popping off, then who knows? Oh yeah, I forgot. Like I got raid people. That's the thing again. I send you guys over to other people, and then other people send people over to me, and it's over to other people, and then other people. Yeah. The whole cycle. And there's only one type of peoples that I can possibly send you. Friends over at Echoplex. Go ahead, light one up, tip one back. It's alright to have a little fun before you hit the sack. Oh, I was seeing Dave's chat and I'm like, who the fuck are you people? I'm Justin Friggin. We'll see you soon.